It's Nick, Jess, and Ducko. Let's get ready to podcast.
This is a wild story coming out of Jesus. Have we ever been here?
Where?
Take us to Ecuador, Ducko.
Oh. It would be my absolute pleasure. What you don't know about Ecuador is they are descendants of the Egyptians.
I love a bit of, what is that, bassoon?
That is snake charmer music.
Is that snake charmer music? Yeah. I wouldn't have thought so, but sure, we're here now and I love it. Love to visit. Not sure if this is a thing in Ecuador. It's making headlines, so perhaps even in Ecuador this was strange behaviour. Mm. Okay. We've all seen Weekend at Bernie's,
yes.
Correct? Where, if you haven't, it's an older film, but a gentleman passes away. Is it Bernie who dies?
Yeah.
So Bernie dies.
He's a rich friend.
Yep. Yes, but his mates want to keep partying.
At his beach house.
Yeah, so they keep him dressed up, they keep him propped up, they keep some sunnies on him, and they basically mannequin him around as though he is alive and still in amongst the party.
A disgusting premise for it is a very funny film.
Yes, seriously, it's actually quite messed up. Please call the authorities. His family should be alerted. This is awful that you just want to keep drinking and you want to stay in your buddy's house. It's very strange. Anyway, not sure if that is a popular film in Ecuador, but it would appear it has been the catalyst, the inspiration, if you will, for one group of friends who were at their, sadly, at a mate's funeral, just a young guy who had passed away. Mm. He was in the coffin there. They're about to send him off with the service. When his mates, who were all into motorbike riding, thought, no, we want to do one last ride with Eric. So his mates, there's vision of this, open the coffin.
No.
Take out Eric's body.
Not even just ride with the coffin.
No. You'd think maybe we could put it on that little side caddy or work out somewhere.
The little surfboard hook.
Even just ride along with the hearse or something. No. Yeah. They take him out of the coffin.
Yeah.
Full body out of the coffin. He's wearing just black pants and like a white shirt.
Okay.
Prop him on the back of a bike. Position his arms kind of around his buddy.
The rigor mortis would make him quite a tight grip.
He kind of looks quite floppy, so
maybe
I'm not sure what's up.
Like drops after
A while. Maybe, but they've literally just like plonked, almost like a stuffed toy.
Yeah.
Plonked him on the back of a bike, wrapped his arms loosely around his friend.
Yeah.
And sat him on there to have one last ride with his friends.
See, I love this. Like, if I was dead and I died and my friend did something like this to me, I would find it the ultimate sign of the last bit of respect.
Well, that's, I guess, what they were thinking. They were like, we're so sad to lose our buddy.
Yeah.
He'll never come riding with us again.
Yeah.
One more go. Just put him on the back of a bike.
And if I knew they stole me from the coffin and people were like, don't do that, I'm like, this is classic.
I mean, I'm going to show you one of the stills. Look how... It just doesn't look right, does it? It literally looks like his eyes are just closed, like he's sleeping.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's
gross.
It's
put
not
a helmet
right.
on at least.
Well, that's an interesting point. Do they put a helmet? They don't
can't
even
get hurt.
Well, he can't, but police have called the act an unhealthy activity.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, no reported investigations have
taken
place.
Yeah, it sounds like advice rather than anything illegal.
Yeah, there's no complaints being made.
Are you allowed to do something with a dead body if
the
dead body grants it?
Is it a crime? Well, they're saying police aren't investigating. It's not a crime per se. It's not right.
No.
But it's not a crime.
No.
So what would you... I mean, you're not into motorbike riding. Is there something you would like Nick and I to do? We can prop you up and, you know... punch the buttons there on your little radio panel.
We could row.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. You could take me off. I'll be the cox. So you sit me in the cox's seat because I'm going to sit there anyway. Wouldn't be steering much. Good luck.
Famously very lazy old Dray Fart. You'll be doing all of the rowing. Well, you'll basically have two dead weights in your boat.
Maybe it could be a double skull then. So otherwise I've just got one oar and we're going
around
in
circles.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, you could do that row.
Well,
if you want, you could do it in an eight. So there's at least other people with you.
Yeah.
So it's a bit lighter for you, Nick.
Love that.
And just you could sit there in the front maybe. You could sit in the stroke seat,
you know
Jess.
What? I'll maneuver your jaw up and down so it looks like you're doing the stroke. Stroke. Someone has to do that job. And I'm happy to volunteer.
Okay. Put my mouth up and down. You keep moving. You break my jaw off.
Which one's closest to you?
I'll be gentle, I promise.
The bow or the stroke closest
stroke.
To you?
Stroke and cocks face each other.
Right.
You get a good groin shot.
Is that a really intimate relationship?
Yep. Because when they go to the catch, which is the front right near where the cocks is.
You're using a lot of language I don't understand.
So when the stroke rows all the way forwards and faces and gets as close as they can to the cocks, you can sometimes be like 30 centimetres from each other. And
well, if I hope
like,
you brush your teeth
if
that
they're
day.
Spitting, if they're sweating, if they're, you know, pulling hard and exerting themselves.
Yeah, let
you
alone you shouting in their face.
Exactly. And plus the groin for males. You get a big dick in your face.
You're not manspreading, though, in a boat, I can imagine. Don't you have to keep your knees tucked?
You do, but you're wearing a zoot suit, and when you spread all the way to the front, it opens up.
It opens up.
Yeah. Do you ever give them a little boop on the nose?
On the penis?
On the nose or the nose?
On the nose of the one-eyed monster?
The proboscis. The nose.
Oh, you weren't doing
it. Am I rowing with an elephant? What am I doing here? That would sink. Right now, boys, have you ever been in a scenario with those closest to you, maybe your partners, your wives, where you're like, whoo, you stink, but I don't know how to tell you.
Yeah.
Because even though you're the love of my life and obviously we share everything, telling someone their breath smells or maybe they've, it's just maybe a bit overdue for a shower is very tricky.
Can be. Mm. Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Are you bringing this up because I didn't brush my teeth this morning?
Yeah, well, this is really timely because this is some advice on how to tell those closest to you that they stink. So you just take from it what you want.
Sometimes Morgan gets morning breath. She'll go in the morning and like go to kiss me. So I'm like, morning
Angus
breath.
Angus refuses to smooch morning me breath. In the morning.
Do you call
I'm
it
like,
Morgan
excuse
breath?
Excuse me.
I should.
Yeah. See, he doesn't have this problem about sensitivity, though. Like, I'll come home from not even a workout, like just from a day.
Yeah.
And we embrace and he'll go, whew, time to change that shirt. I'm like, thank you. Thank you, Angus. Like, I'm so glad I have you.
You're sweating.
Because is there anything, like particularly in a workplace, if people were talking behind your back?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you'd rather someone address it.
Have I ever told you about my old work that had to formally give someone a warning about their breath stinking?
Do you mean like HR had to get involved?
Yeah, the boss had to speak to him and then it kept happening. So then HR had to get involved because his breath was so bad, people couldn't be around him. Yeah, it's an old place I worked.
What was the outcome? Was it like... He then always carries Jilla Mints?
People giving
like,
him a lot of gum for Secret Santa.
That's a subtle way. And this is what this advice is saying. It's like, stop being subtle because sometimes people don't even know. Mm. So you might get them Tic Tacs for just a Wednesday treat, but they're going, why? I don't like Tic Tacs. No, you need the Tic Tacs.
Yeah.
So these people, now this is specifically more partner because if you're saying this to your colleague, might be a bit weird. But they say to obviously broach it with sensitivity and kindness, but to talk more about how it's affecting you, you can say something like, I feel concerned about your breath, especially because it's keeping me from being close to you. And I want us to explore ways to make sure it doesn't keep us apart. I'm feeling distance because maybe it's uncomfortable hugging or even kissing you. Being intimate with you is becoming affected and it's being affected because of these odor issues. Perhaps we can explore ways to rectify this together. I give you the hot tip. If Angus came up to me and said, I'm struggling to kiss you because you stink so bad, I genuinely wouldn't be able to leave the house ever again because I would be mortified. But that's the advice from some psychologist who's involved in this.
Very good. Well, I think the thing about like Tic Tacs and stuff like that, I feel as though that's the links of the breath world.
Yes.
It's just masking.
Oh, it's not the root problem.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Can you imagine though, if you know, your wife goes, hey, let's go to the dentist together. Should we just have a couple's date to the dentist? Yeah. Like, surely you're a suspect straight away.
Yeah.
Mm.
Could be a fun family trip, though.
Yeah.
Get some free floss.
Okay. Is that something you think you need? Your words, not ours. Is that maybe something?
And then how do you tell colleagues as well? Colleagues is harder. I find it easier to tell
you. You can't use the intimacy excuse with a colleague.
If you did, that's HR again.
Exactly. Yeah. We're on the hunt for a mystery mole spotter. Huh? Yes, a mystery.
Wait. You didn't tell me we were talking about moles. Hold on.
We're talking about moles. A mystery mole spotter.
It's nice to mole you. Don't say mole.
Molly.
Now, mate, this whole break is derailed because I'm going to have too much fun.
Okay, well, listen.
Okay.
You used all of them up the top.
Yeah, that's all right.
He'll go again.
Them through.
No. Trust me. I'm just giving the people what they want early.
A mystery mole spotter.
Molly.
Has saved a woman's life, okay? So if you were at the Belmont Aldi.
Have you got the fray, how to save a life?
If you were at the Belmont Aldi on December 4 or around about then, so maybe late last week.
Don't say mole.
And you had the audacity. Yeah. I shouldn't say that because that sounds negative, but you truly listen to what happened.
Okay.
So this
Did they say?
It's nice to mole you.
Well, basically they did, all right? Because what's happened is this woman, so the woman who had the mole, let's call her Molly.
Molly.
Let's call her Molly. Molly's at Belmont Aldi.
Molly or Molly?
No, I'm saying Molly.
You're shooting yourself in the foot at this point.
Molly is at Belmont Aldi, She's standing in the checkout queue waiting to put her groceries through, right?
Yes.
She gets a tap on the shoulder from a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
This other woman, we don't know her name. She's the mystery mole spotter, all right?
Yeah.
She taps this woman on the shoulder.
It's nice
goes,
to mole you.
Excuse me, it's nice to mole you. I'm a bit concerned about this mole on your back.
What?
Is the stranger some kind of dermatologist?
She doesn't say. Now, this is the issue because Molly doesn't have social media. So we're getting all of this from Leanne, who's Molly's friend.
Molly.
She's taken to Facebook to be like, I need to thank the mystery mole spotter who has saved my mate's life. Because she has tapped her on the shoulder in the middle of Belmont Aldi and gone, excuse me, this is a bit strange, I know. But I don't like the look of this mole on your back. You should get this checked. And Molly's gone, I don't even know I had a mole on my back. Thanks, I guess. Probably a little put out. Like, how random for a strange woman to go, you seen this thing on your back? Looks weird. You should get it checked out. She does get it checked out. It was a bloody melanoma.
Stop it.
It was actually cancerous. The skin doctor was like, thank goodness we caught this. She's now in for regular checkups and all that stuff because they were able to scoop it out, you know, how they excise it, basically. But she's now like, oh, my God, the mystery mole spotter at Belmont Aldi has genuinely saved my life and I've got no way to, like, thank her. So now that's why Leanne, the friend, is trying to get on social media. Mm. And that's why we've picked it up because there's a mystery mole spotter out there just saving people's lives.
Molly.
And she had to depend on the kindness of strangers.
I've always depended on the kindness. Strange.
Well, I don't know what Molly's situation is, but she's obviously got friends. No one has commented on this mole before. A stranger had to do it.
There you go.
That's the kindness of strangers. So we thought we'd ask.
Yes.
Firstly, are you the mystery mole spotter?
Yeah.
If this story sounds familiar, hang on, I've tapped a woman on the shoulder before and I go to Belmont Aldi. It's me. Please call up. We'd like to say good on you.
You would remember that, surely.
I feel like you're
unless
remembering
you're a
that.
Person who's routinely pointing out people's moles at Belmont Aldi.
If you are the routine person, it's probably you. So give us a call.
Yeah.
Or has a stranger saved your life?
Ooh.
Now, I don't imagine this is a common occurrence by any stretch of the imagination, but has something happened? Has a stranger intersected into your day in a way that has saved your life?
I'd be amazed if we get a call for this.
I know, right?
131060 cool. If you do.
Maybe a stranger has pointed out a mole.
Oh,
maybe this isn't as
uncommon
as we think.
And it's nice of her to actually take what the stranger said. Because if someone said, you got a mole, I'd be like, go away leave me and my mole alone.
How dare you make me feel insecure about my mole? I'm never wearing a tank top again.
Yeah.
Exactly. But to actually go, all right, I'll go get it checked.
And then it's,
It's can you ever imagine standing behind someone at Woolies and going, excuse me.
Don't say mole.
You know, I don't like the look of that growth on the back of your neck.
It's nice to mole you.
That would be really an uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah, I know.
Well, producer Alex has said that she's got a bit of a story. Is it mole related, producer Alex?
Molly.
I hate that sound effect.
Molly.
Sorry, you
when
go.
You're done?
Molly.
I'm so sorry,
molly,
you
molly.
Go. There's a glitch in this.
Okay, any minute now.
Yeah, no.
Well, have
it's
one
nice
above
to
mine.
Mole you.
Okay. Am I going to go?
Yeah. I'm waiting for you.
All right. Well, anyways, when I was a kid
don't
at the beach, I'm out.
You're
Billy, forget
through.
It. Forget
at
it.
Beach, no. At the beach,
push
come
through.
On.
Nah.
On.
I nearly drowned. Ducker doesn't care.
Molly.
Yeah,
someone call up with a better story.
You nearly drowned. And what happened?
I was at the beach and I was like caught between two rocks and went down.
You've just failed out.
Don't say Molly.
Get it out. Get rid of him.
He's on the buttons.
I'm power drunk today. I think I'm power drunk.
I think there's a mole in your face that's making you go crazy.
Oh. Okay, well, 131060. Vaguely, there may have been a story about a stranger saving producer Alex. We want to hear yours.
Why didn't you finish your story? I want to know what happened.
What a random thing to just crowbar into our conversation about strangers saving your lives. I went to the beach. All right, mate.
Yes, did a stranger save your life?
Did a mole save your life?
I was about to say.
Or has a random pointed out a mole. Yeah. I mean, we'll take it.
Well, Ben in Cessnock, have you had a stranger save your life?
Oh, it's actually Brayden.
It's nice to mole you.
That's the second time Alex has absolutely stitched us up with names. How'd you get Ben from Brayden? Explain yourself.
Maybe there's an apostrophe after the B.
No. So going back a few years ago, I used to work at Coles Bathurst. And in the shopping centre, I used to be a trolley boy, and down in the car park, there is this really bad blind spot, and I was out in the car park collecting my stuff and everything, and there was this elderly couple and their grandchild walking through the car park, and the grandchild's run about 10, 15 feet away from them, coming up to this really bad blind spot, and next thing, a car's come around the corner, I've turned around, and because I was like right in the center of it, I could see the car and the little boy. I've grabbed the little boy and I've just yanked him all the way over to me. And the driver of the car slammed his foot on the brake, and the grandparents were like, oh, thank God.
Oh my God. You were the stranger.
Yeah.
Save that little
boy. Did it feel good?
Life.
Was it a hero moment, Ben? We were like, yeah, I just did that. Sorry, Brayden.
Yeah, it was a bit overwhelming. I was just like, oh, geez.
Oh my God.
You know, the adrenaline was pumping at the same time because, like, you know, if I didn't get to the boy in time, yeah,
we'd be having this conversation.
Yeah.
Like, I personally experienced the thrill of a 18-month-old walking behind a swing at a thing and then doing the, like, rugby scoop.
Wow, and they've come
that
off.
That is thrilling. For a four-year-old in front of a car, man.
That's very good.
Brayden.
That's exactly what we wanted. Thank you so much for sharing, Paul.
It wasn't a mole story. It was a saving life story.
It was an actual saving life story. Paul's in Raymond Terrace. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Nick, Jess, and Ducker.
Nice to mole you.
It's nice to mole you, Paul. Has a stranger saved your life?
There was a stranger that saved my life. It was an elderly gentleman on Caves Beach many, many moons ago. I'm turning 55. I was back when I was 16. And fairly heavy surf day, dove into a fairly dark-looking wave. I thought it was just a whole heap of ribbon seafood, seaweed in there.
Seafood.
And, seafood, seaweed. And in actual fact, it was a huge clump of blue bottles that I dove straight head first into. And I woke up in Belmont Hospital a week later.
Huh.
Apparently, I'd been wrapped my whole torso with over 100 blue bottles.
Oh, my God.
And went into a toxic shock, and I was medevaced from a helicopter to Belmont Hospital. But as it was, this old gentleman apparently pulled me out of the surf and dragged me up and to the surf lifesavers. And to this day, I owe the gentleman my life, and I don't know who he was.
We don't know who he is. Okay, so now we're on the hunt for the mystery mole spotter and the jellyfish D-Wrangler saved Paul.
Yeah.
That guy.
Exactly.
Is that the same person who saved you, Ducker?
I'm alive to you. Cheers, Ev.
Yeah.
My Molly.
Yes. Yeah, I got saved in the surf. Remember by Dave Edwards? I know Dave, though. We text still.
Okay.
Just get on my shoulder.
He was a stranger.
He was a stranger.
Point,
I called him over and he helped me get out.
And you've become friends. We've got to reunite the saviours with their charges. So if you're the dude who pulled Paul out, how long ago, Paul?
That was well over 35-odd years ago.
Amazing.
Well, they were a big fan of the show back then, so that's still listening now.
If that guy's listening 35 years ago, you pulled a dude out, we want to reconnect you. Molly and the mole spotter, we want to reconnect you.
Don't say mole.
And if he was an older gentleman then, 35 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, he'd have.
As if he's not listening to commercial radio right now. Are you joking?
He gets around his gear.
Molly.
Our over 100 demographic.
We're huge in the over 100s.
Today, huge news in the education world. The first time in a decade, there's going to be statewide industrial action made by teachers walking off the job in all New South Wales public schools, teachers and principals included. We wanted to get to the bottom of this, just the story behind it. And so we're going to go to the Hunter Teachers Federation organiser, Jack Galvin, on his way to Sydney. Good morning, Jack. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, team, and good morning, listeners.
Okay, so first of all, take us through exactly what you guys are doing and teachers and principals across New South Wales are doing today.
Look, teachers are striking today because we simply have to. We've exhausted all other avenues with the state government. The teacher shortages are crippling our schools in the Hunter and across New South Wales, and this is affecting our kids, so we're saying enough is enough.
Absolutely. This isn't a new issue, Jack. I know that the conversation about teachers' pay has been going, it feels like, for years and years, but has COVID really ramped this up now that maybe parents are on board with the attitudes of, Jesus, we've seen what it's like to just do our kid, maybe one or two at home. Our teachers need to be better compensated when all 30 return to classrooms.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I think there is a newfound respect for the profession, but there's irrefutable evidence, including an independent inquiry and the government's own documents, that reveal that the teacher shortages are being caused by excessive workload and a pay that just hasn't kept pace with other professions.
Yeah, and then you're seeing a 30% drop in young people entering the teacher education, and then when they're in there, a 50% dropout rate. Would you put that completely to what you're saying, like finance, just not enough for what you're doing?
Well, look, I'm quoting the government's own documents, so it's hard to argue against that. But their documents say that the reason is excessive workloads, but also the pay. So we do need appropriate pay to get the appropriate people into the profession.
And so what are you asking for today during the strikes?
So we're asking for 5 to 7.5% pay increase per year over the next 2 years, and 2 hours additional release time. So teachers can actually have time to plan the fantastic lessons that they do. We're also saying to the Premier, Mr. Perrottet, look, if you don't care about the teacher shortages, then you don't care about our kids. And that's why we're striking. And that's why teachers are giving up their pay and their time, because they care about the kids.
For a guy who's got, what's Perrottet, pregnant
five
with
kids
his six?
Or six?
Or
yeah.
Pregnant with the seventh? Surely that's going to strike a chord. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't think you need to have kids to understand. We all came through the school system. Yeah. I think we can all reflect on how hard our teachers worked. I can imagine, Jack, though, you would have so many parents on board, but has there also been some maybe discontent with some parents being like, oh my goodness, we've had so much disruption the past 2 years. We can't have the kids home again. Have you got some parents saying that, do you?
Yeah, look, we understand the inconvenience, and I've got kids, and numerous teachers have got kids as well. But this is one day, and we're more concerned about the long term. So we're worried about the hundreds of days a year that you see thousands of kids missing out, that the classes that are split, kids in quadrangles, because there just isn't a teacher because of the shortages.
Wow. Yeah.
And is it 100% of the teachers in the schools? Are there any teachers who can go like, I'm not passionate about this. I don't know why they would be, or for whatever reason, go into school today.
Debbie strike, goddammit.
Or is it just 100% of teachers across New South Wales in the state schools?
Look, most schools are shut or have minimal supervision, so most teachers are taking that action. But as I said, we're missing out on pay. It's before Christmas, so I understand some people will struggle with it.
Yeah, right. And do you know, are the parents all on board with you guys after, like Jess mentioned earlier, with COVID and having a newfound appreciation for teachers?
There's definitely that newfound respect. And as I said, we understand the inconvenience, but in the long term, this action's just necessary.
And what are the expectations at the end of the day? Like, if you're asking for the 5 to 7.5% over the next 2 years, are you hoping by the end of today you're having a conversation with Dominic Perrottet? Are you hoping to have a meeting with some kind of, representative from the state government? What's the hope for you guys?
Yeah, this is in the Premier and the state government's hand. They need to fix the shortages, and they need to fix it now. So it is hope that they'll come to their senses and they'll read their own documents.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you say it's the government's words that you're quoting, it's hard to for them to turn around and go, oh, nah.
It is, and their only response really is a glossy brochure that's not gonna do anything.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need that.
Well, Jack Galvin Waite, on his way to Sydney from the Hunter Teachers Federation, organising these strikes today. So thank you so much for your time, Jack. We appreciate your insight.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, everyone.
So I got into a bit of a kerfuffle with a single friend of mine.
Not a kerfuffle.
A kerfuffle, all right. Now, I, you know when you enter a fight and you realise I have no ammunition to be in this fight?
Oh, I hate
that. I am not single. So who am I to be telling this single bloke what his dating profile should look like?
Yeah, they better not call me out on any of this because I've got nothing to back it up with.
Exactly. So he's a friend visiting from Melbourne, came up, we had a few bevvies, and we got on to, how's your love life?
Okay.
And he said, well, I'm on the apps. I said, what's your app of choice? He said Hinge. Now, producer Alex, I know you're on Hinge.
You're big on the dating apps.
What's Hinge's thing? Like Tinder's for one night stands, Bumble's the lady gets to speak first. What's Hinge about?
Well, Hinge is a bit of a mix. I think that because you can display what you're looking for.
Oh,
so
you're looking for a fling, or I'm looking for a serious relationship.
Yeah. So you can
not
display
all
that.
Just one night stands. Then that's not what dating apps are. Forgive me. Is it about love?
Well, that's what Hinge is trying to get at, I'm guessing. It's trying to say yes.
It's the app that you want to delete. They want you to delete or something? Is that the Hinge one?
We want you to find your soulmate. Yeah. You don't need us anymore. I love it. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Alex. Hinge is the one where your whole profile, you've obviously got pictures. You need pictures, but you've also got prompts, yeah?
What's that?
Yes, there is text prompts that you can pick from, like what do you order for the table, I geek out on, you shouldn't go out with me if you like, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Now, this is where it came down to, because what was on one of my friend's prompts, the question was, change my mind about ... And that was the prompt that he had decided to answer.
Yeah.
And I went, hang on, are you after a one-night stand? based on his answer.
Okay.
And he was like, no, I'm actually looking for a girlfriend. I went, no, you're not. That's absolute BS. Because the way you've answered this question, you're clearly putting out sexy vibes.
Yes.
All right. He was like, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. Now, I will get producer Alex in studio because as the single one, maybe I've misinterpreted my old married saggy bum thinks like, oh no, these young kids, I got no idea what they're putting out to the world, but maybe I'm just missing the mark.
Saggy boobies.
All right. His response to change my mind about was eggplant. It's just no good. Now, if you want a real relationship, are you bringing up the eggplant? Now, it was the word eggplant. It wasn't the emoji.
Okay.
We all know what the emoji
is. Oh, that's sophisticated, using the word.
But the fact he spelled out eggplant didn't remove the stink of this is sexy time related.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? But, and he's trying to tell me he's looking for a serious relationship. Please.
But eggplant, it's no good, would suggest that he's not just looking for some eggplant times.
Oh, true.
You know, maybe he is looking for a bit of love.
Yeah.
Producer Alex, as the single lady, if you came across my friend's profile and it said, change my mind about eggplant, what do you think he's insinuating with that? Is it a conversation starter or is it like, you're just trying to bring up your
yeah, awesome. If it was the emoji, I would go straight to that.
Oh, but there
was
word?
Text.
See, I think text is different.
Do you think it's different?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, this is why I'm not in touch with the single people.
What do you find on these dating profiles that like, hook you in, Alex?
Oh, it's not the fish photos. Everyone needs to stop doing that.
Oh, aren't you impressed by a man with a big fish?
No, every single one is holding a fish.
Really?
Your fish is not a flex.
He had no fish, so there are.
Well, I need to find him.
What about a four-wheel drive photo? What a ute? Me on the beach with a fish
again,
and a ute.
Don't care if you own a Hilux.
Yeah, okay. But they're proud of their Hilux. Isn't it like an insight into their life?
Ooh. Yeah, no. No, absolutely not. So that's the common theme. And then one that does get me is the dogs. That's...
Are you a big dog lover?
Well, yes. And I'm a bit of a hypocrite if I did pay that out because like half my profile is me with dogs. But it does. Like you can't help but like double take because you're like, what a cute dog. And then you're like, not so cute. Other human. But yeah. Anyways, dog's cute.
Okay.
But have you ever dated someone because they had a cute pet, but you weren't really into them? Were you just trying to get closer to the dog?
I think I've considered like meeting up with someone because they have a puppy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they don't bring the puppy and it's like awkward.
Yeah.
Can you go home and get your dog?
Where's the litter?
Yeah. What about a shirtless photo of the human with a dog?
Oh, yeah. No, I double take those two. Absolutely.
Go.
But yeah, drop the fish. I just,
drop
PSA,
the fish.
Drop the fish.
Drop the fish.
Pick up a pup.
And if you are trying to imply something maybe a little bit sexy, spell it out.
Yes.
Because that way you get them in. Eggplants, immediate no-no.
Yes.
But if you spell it out, okay,
he's
no, it's
so
still
sophisticated.
Alluring. He's so sophisticated. Look at his good use of the keyboard. Ooh, so sexy.
Well, yeah, I read this prompt actually when I was going through some profiles for you and it was like, I'm the type of texter who drops heaps of emojis. And I was like, no.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So even though they spelt that out, that was a turn off because you actually read what the word said.
Yeah.
Very
absolutely.
Good.
Yeah.
Best travel stories are great. I highly recommend people use those prompts, but not if your story is met Dua Lipa in Mykonos in 2018. That's a bit
Mykonos!
Of a
Mykonos!
That's such that's a snooze.
Sorry, aren't you like, I want to know how it was meeting Dua Lipa?
Yeah. Have I told you about how I met Bob Sinclair in Mykonos?
What?
Wait, did you really?
Can you imagine how much your Hinge profile would go off
baby.
With that story?
The world was holding on for me and Bob Sinclair, he has one song. And I was like, play it again, Bob.
You in front of Bob Sinclair, shirtless, holding a fish.
Yes.
Yes, with the word eggplant spelt out. Amazing. Is it the season to be jolly?
Well, it's meant to be.
It's meant
beginning to
be.
To look a lot like Christmas.
Unless, of course, you're the Grinch.
This is such a good point. And unfortunately, there seems to be a Grinch who walks amongst us.
Yeah.
And we are going to ask you, Hit Family, on 131060... Is your boss the Grinch in your life? Because that's what we're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm. And look, we've got him in the studio, boss Jace. Don't know if you knew that's what you were coming in for, mate, but thank you so much for joining us.
I was coming for the smelly colleague segment earlier.
Yeah, bad breath.
How to handle that with delicacy, exactly.
Yeah. Do you want to borrow my office toothbrush?
Everyone's using it.
Well, no, teeth, that's not what you're in here for. We can have another discussion a bit later on. Yeah. One thought per break. Come on. We're radio professionals.
Okay.
And what we want to talk to you about is you're declining to partake in the Team Secret Santa. Producer Alex very kindly did the email calendar invite. She even sent out the electronic assortment thing so you don't have to do the bits of paper. The emails can do it for you and just get assigned the name in your inbox. And you have declined every step of the way.
So you don't want to be in our Secret Santa?
To be involved. And it's really quite sad. And we need to, one, you're doing it. But two, what's up? Why do you hate Christmas?
Secret Santa's just not my vibe. Like,
what does that even mean?
No, I really do like Christmas now.
No, you don't.
Before children, not my vibe. Now, I used to work in hospitality. Those in hospitality will understand.
Yeah.
Now, though, all about Christmas. Secret Santa, no. Just, I don't like the surprise element. It's even like presents. This will shock you. With my wife, she's not my wife either. That's a different story.
One thought per brain.
But we don't buy surprise presents. It's like you buy something, I'll buy something. No surprises.
For yourself.
Morgan and I don't.
What do you
that.
Mean? You buy your own pair of sneakers and then write to Jace, love your wife absolutely. In your handwriting, and that's what her gift to you
is. Do you wrap it?
100%. Yes, have to wrap it.
Morgan and I don't do that.
You might as well write to Jace from Jace.
We just give you. We just go, what do you want? What do you want? And we just buy it together at the same time.
Yeah. From the joint account.
She'll be like, oh, this is what I want for Christmas. I'm going to buy it. I'm like, you do you.
What?
Yeah, you
I'm
know
not
that,
about
though.
Surprise presents. Yeah. I'm happy to like tell people what I want. Yeah. But it's the thought and the energy and the effort of you going to the shop.
Here's the test, Jace. How long have you been with your partner?
10 years?
Yeah.
Geez, that long?
Yeah. I'm nearly 9.
Yeah.
Mate, it dies. The surprise
Listen,
dies.
This isn't about partners. This is not... How long... Okay, now this is the question.
Big shout out to Lofty
This
Morgan.
Is the question.
Good morning, sweetie.
Morgan's not in the Team Secret Santa. Lofty is not in the Team Secret Santa. Yeah. How long have you been with Jess Faccioni?
Oh, too long. Nearly 2 years.
Not that long. The romance is still alive in this relationship. Nick, can you back me up here, please? You want him to be in the Secret
surprises.
Santa?
Is the romance still alive with you and Jess? Santa? But I fear that if we have a grinchy person in the Secret Santa, it's going to kill the vibe a little bit. Like, I am going to get, let's say it's
cash.
It's like $30 cash. It's going to be an envelope with $30 cash
let's
in it.
Let's be real, would you be mad about that?
Nah, I wouldn't be.
No, but like...
Yeah.
No, I just don't
I like surprises.
I like doing cash Team Secret Santa's as fun as well.
And having the boss involved is better because you know that they have to go over the budget or they look like a big tight ass.
Yeah.
But if you get me, do you have to, if I want cash.
Oh, we're giving you a gag gift.
Absolutely.
Sustainable.
A sustainable gag gift. Now, there's a business opportunity.
Yeah.
One break, but.
No, you know, it's the season. To be festive and the time for giving, and you're part of the team, and you
you're
have
in
to.
It, whether you like it or not, we're
this
doing,
is
we're
what
doing
gets
the
me.
Santa
you know
draw.
When like the one Grinch can bring down the five jolly people? That's bad. That means the jolly people aren't doing a good enough job of getting the Grinch up.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's like we're the Who's in Whoville, and he's the Grinch, and he has to come down and celebrate with the townspeople.
Yeah.
We are the townspeople. Stop living in your icy cold mountain.
You do only wear
with
black.
Your dog.
Yeah.
I'll be in.
Oh, amazing. That worked well. Yes.
We're going to be 13, 10, 60. Is your boss a Grinch?
Yes, and we'll rig it so Jace gets me. It's
fine.
Oh, my
God, Alex, I cannot have her.
I know. Honestly.
You can have her.
Whoever gets Jess, it's the bullet.
I'm the easiest. I've made it abundantly clear what I've wanted for the past few months. Please, I'll send you the link.
Prada
it's fine.
13, 10, 60. Do you have a Grinch boss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they're refusing to do a Christmas party this year.
We'll
won't put decorations.
We'll call them.
Yes.
We'll call them out.
Look, we convinced Boss Jace.
Yeah.
We could do it to your boss too.
Ed Sheeran now. Shivers on hits.
Jess is in Cessnock. We did ask the question, is your boss a Grinch? You know, if they cancelled the Christmas party or they told you off for wearing your jingle bell earrings. But I'm a bit nervous, Jess, because it says here that you are the Grinch.
Yes, I'm the Grinch because I work in retail, so I have to help set up, put all the decorations up and that so people can buy them.
And you hate it.
I absolutely hate it. I don't like glitter. Like, I cover it up damn well. Like, I do the makeup and everything and make people believe I love Christmas. But I absolutely hate it because I don't like putting up the Christmas decorations for people to buy. And no one actually knows what to buy me, so I'm always left out of the, like, gifting.
Oh, yeah.
I saw one of the... I hear you, Jessica, and I appreciate that you're putting it up. Just the other day, I saw one of the saddest looking people dressed as an elf ever. Like, they'd gone to the effort. It was clearly voluntary that they'd done this, but they just hated every minute.
I mean, being an elf's not the greatest. Usually, like, we need someone short. Who can we get?
Yeah, who looks good in felt shoes?
Who's the shortest in the staff in the office? you know?
And walk around behind, you know, the dude dressed as Santa. Yeah, he's putting on a little bit to hand out candy canes. And you're like, no, I don't want this job.
He's the kid. He's the thing that gets kicked by the kids, you know? No one's kicking Santa.
No, everyone exactly. That Santa. He has mad respect.
Yeah,
whereas the
elves.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they're small and there's lots of them, because they're meant to band together.
Yeah.
But there's only
power
one
in numbers.
Yeah. But there's only one little guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so scarred.
So scarred.